And we are we are live, everyone. Hi, I am the nasal passage of doom, the Sussman, Rick Sussman, the original Sussman. And I probably have a sinus infection, but that's okay. It is this time of the year that I normally get sinus issues. And anyway, joining me as always is the original nerd girl herself. We're both originals now. So I needed a video game to make Sus a thing. And you were just the original nerd girl. Anyway, the original nerd girl herself, Elle Lestrange. We are Team Reed Pile, and we are here today to bring you coffee, cats, comic book reviews, snarky remarks about things, and possibly, just possibly, the camera falling over halfway through the show.
I feel like a cat will be involved with it.
It typically is. Anyway, I apologize again for my awful-sounding voice and general nasalness as a cat just leapt from one chair to another, which normally is not that impressive, but these kittens are not exactly known for their dexterity, so I was actually kind of impressed.
Oh, behind the table, on the shelves.
It's like a whole obstacle course for them that I never intended. So, welcome to this week's episode of The Reed Pile. I, of course, as I mentioned, am the Sussman, Rick Sussman. It is the week of December 6th, and you knocked down Harley Quinn. Ah, jeez. Anyway. We have a...
Well, she's Barbara Gordon.
That is Barbara Gordon, true. We have tremendous stacks of Reed Pile books to get to, and I was actually joking, but it might be time for us to simply rename the show from The Reed Pile to the Tom King, Tom Taylor Review Hour, because so many of our books this week, they're very different books. There are lots of different options available, but those two names pop up more than anyone else's, so...
I mean, he's got to be a busy man.
Which one?
Tom King.
Tom King?
Yeah.
Well, or Tom Taylor. They both have like five or six ongoings right now. Well, minis and ongoings.
I feel like they're like taking over.
So, just to give you an idea, let me do a quick run through. Let's see. That's one. So, I have two books, Tom Taylor, Tom King books. I have one Tom Taylor, one Tom King book. And you have one Tom King book.
Yeah.
And so, that doesn't sound like a lot, but three books by two of the same writers in a stack of 11. So more than a third of our pile is that a third or a quarter? 11. If it was four and it was 12, it would be a quarter. So just over a quarter. Maths.
I just like seeing your brain chatter process with the sinus infection going on.
It's a lot. It might not even be a sinus infection. It could just be seasonal allergies. The one thing we know it's not is COVID because I don't have a cough, which means I'm just very lucky. COVID or no COVID, this was going to happen to me regardless. So that's really hilarious. All right. So if you've never joined the show before, first, thank you. Second, you should know the format of the show is we start with a little bit of banter. That's banter achieved. Check. Next, we move on to a little bit of comic book news. And then ultimately, we get to the comic book reviews. We're going to sort of skimp on the news a little bit this week because our read piles are quite substantial. So I'm just going to get to the meat of it and say, look, last week we discussed how Wonder Woman 84 was going to be made available for those of you who have a Fire Stick, which we do on the smaller TV, because of course, or if you have a if you have HBO Plus, regardless, or HBO Max. Sorry, everything's a plus. Like, it's no longer going to be CBS All Access; it's going to be Paramount Plus and Disney Plus. But yeah, if you have HBO Max, I think in a week or so you will have access to Wonder Woman 84, which we have a Roku in our main TV in our living room, so we can't watch Wonder Woman 84 unless we come in here and watch it on the tiny screen, which seems counterproductive.
I thought there was like some kind of deal between Prime and...
Well, that's what the Fire Stick is.
That's the...
So if you have a Fire Stick, you can watch HBO Max, which we have a Fire Stick on here, but I don't think the Fire Stick will plug in to the Roku TV because it shouldn't need to, right? So we can try it. We'll definitely give it a whirl.
Yeah,
but
okay.
There was bigger news this week, too, that not just Wonder Woman 84 is coming to HBO Max, but next year, 2021, the entire slate of Warner Brothers movies will be uploaded onto HBO Max same day as they would be available in the movie theater. And while we know from listening to science tell us that there is going to be a vaccine for COVID-19 roughly around April, everyone should be getting it between April and May, announcing this kind of Well, honestly, it kind of just kills movie theaters, right?
Yeah.
If you have one massive studio, in this case Warner Brothers, just saying, F it, just watch the shit at home anyway, that kind of is the coffin nail for theaters, right?
Yeah.
So, my buddy Jesse and I, we finally had our first episode of our wrestling podcast, which was yesterday and the first time since COVID, so 6 months or 9 months or so of that. And we talked about this a little bit, so I wanted to talk to you about it. You don't like going to the movie theater because you have health concerns and you have to get up and, you know, sometimes you have to stop the movie when we're watching it and you got to do other things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So you and I haven't really seen a movie in the theater for a very long time anyway. I think Batman the Killing Joke was the last movie we actually saw in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you know that Warner Brothers is going to make its entire library available to you same day at home, hopefully they work out a deal with Roku soon, right?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Assuming it is going to be on Roku and we can actually watch these movies.
Yeah, if it was guaranteed that it was easy for us to access, of course, I would find it great. I mean, unfortunately, I'm hearing all these stories of possibly not being able to even access it. And so then it's like, what's the point? Yeah. So you're telling me I'm not going
to
watch it.
So the other question is, if they're going to make it available on HBO Max, will they also allow you to rent it, like as a stream, right?
Uh-huh.
Which the rental would probably be like $30 per rental, which is roughly the same price as buying a movie ticket.
Okay.
I wouldn't necessarily be against that. I mean, we're not going to rent every single movie, but we would definitely rent Wonder Woman 84, The Suicide Squad, all the major Warner Brothers comic book movies that'll be coming out next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would much rather just subscribe to HBO Max and instead of paying $30 per movie, just pay like $150 annually and hooray, right?
Yeah. It would be a big chunk of our entertainment.
Yeah. Budget, so. Our entertainment budget, which this week was way too much on comic books. But I think this is awesome. I think this was the direction that theaters were always going to go to. I mentioned it's an old movie now, but when it came out, it was a big deal. Do you remember a movie called Ballistic X versus Sever? And it featured Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. So it was about the same time as Jason versus Freddy came out. They started doing these weird versus movies for whatever reason. Like it was a thing. Well, X versus Sever was, originally, I don't know if they ever actually went through with it, but it was originally planned that it was going to be like this sort of A-B testing. They were going to release it in theaters, and they were going to release it on home video for you to stream, or in that case, pay-per-view, because it was 20 years ago, at the exact same time to see how it worked out. So theaters have been aware that this was coming for some time. I don't necessarily think COVID, you know, was the final coffin nail. I think it just forced the change a little bit sooner than maybe anyone wants to admit.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely get that. We had Blockbuster and places like that to go rent movies.
That's right. I used to run a Hollywood Video.
That disappeared. Things upgraded, you know, and it's just, sorry, things have already upgraded. You know, we were just waiting to shut them down, you know?
Well, so a lot of people are very sad about this. They're saying, oh, what about my movie theater experience? What about my movie theater experience? Well, the bulk of my movie theater experience was always me being frustrated that some jackass was sitting in the same theater as I was. And sometimes I was that jackass. That is true. But I always had a problem with the movie theater experience after so many visits. I mean, it is really impressive. The reason why I saw Avatar and I fell in love with Avatar so much, and I own the 4.5-hour special edition of Avatar on Blu-ray, uh-huh, is because I went and saw that movie in the theater a dozen times. I was so floored by that 3D technology. It was amazing. But outside of that, I don't really have a lot of movie theater experiences that I care to mention. Most of it was spent at midnight releases, and that was fun until the movie was over, and then you got home at 3 a.m. and you had to go to work at 6 a.m. and you thought to yourself, why am I doing this?
I hate the movie theaters because I like to be able to get up and, like, move around, like, at some point if I needed to or wanted to. Like you said, health issues. But I was so sick and tired of purposely going to a night show
right.
to avoid having a bunch of children in the theater. And then there they are, a bunch of children in the theater. And funny enough, most of them in pajamas already. I don't understand. And a lot of the times, there are movies that you really shouldn't have your kid at, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there is something to be said for, like, that scene in Endgame where Cap, you know, finally gets the heads up that everyone has been snapped back to us and all of them are coming to, you know, to his rescue, you know, the on your left scene. It's such an awe-inspiring moment. And I was there in the theater and we all started, like, cheering at the same time. And that was cool.
Yeah.
I'm willing to let that go. Like, that was if you look at my experiences in the theater, so you're talking about, like, one every 10 movies, I have a positive experience. I was also in the theater for a preview of Black Panther, and I swear to God, there was an actual fist fight after the movie ended right in front of me. And I was just like, why am I here? And then, of course, all of the horror stories of people being shot and killed in movie theaters. Like, this all just seems very bad, so I'm for it.
Everything's always sticky, too.
Yeah. And like, nobody has a story where they went to a movie theater like, you know, this is my giant tub of popcorn and I paid $2 for it. No. Here, do you want a giant tub of popcorn and a giant soda, both of which you'll never finish? Okay, that'll be $87, please.
More like 30.
But. Yeah. But you know, everyone has that joke, and it's because it's true. You would go to a movie theater, and they would charge you just absolutely ludicrous amounts of money for what we know is a product that you could buy at Publix. You could get all the popcorn. If you spent $30 on popcorn at Publix.
Oh, man. And when there's a BOGO?
Oh, my God. All right. You ready to move on? You ready to start talking about your books?
Oh, man.
A lot of books.
Look, see, I matched today.
You should just stripes? Stripes are matching?
I'm two different kinds of stripes.
You're very striped out. Huh. The leopard never changes its spots.
Spots are bad. They're not in?
Okay. All right, what is on your The Read pile this week, Elle?
All right. We're going to start with...
So this is Batman, The Adventures Continue by Burnett and Dini. I sort of had a mild spoiler happen to me when I looked at our receipt. It looks like this is actually, without my knowing, a miniseries.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
You told me about that. And honestly, that changes my view on this book.
Oh, okay.
I still question the fact, you know, why didn't you make it part of the title? Like the story of... You know, or...
Because this was basically the Jason Todd enters the Batman the Animated Series book, right?
Pretty much. You know, so...
That explains why so many of the issues were spent focusing on
it. I just feel like it should have had it in the title. And I would have been so much bit more okay with it. Looking back at reading it and trying to put in that idea that, hey, look, this is a story about him.
Right.
You know, I appreciate the issues that I kind of bombed.
Yeah.
You know? I appreciate them a little bit more now. But I still don't understand, like, why didn't you tell us up front? You know, was it supposed to be a surprise that it was a story about him? Or well, I think I would have...
What's a bigger...
It would have made me want to read it even more, knowing that it was a story.
We never got word that this was a terminal book.
Right.
We assumed this was an ongoing.
Yeah.
Nobody at our comic shop smartened us up, and we didn't bother looking into it because it was just assumed. There's a book on your stack, and a number of books on mine, that actually have one of X on the title of the book.
Yeah.
I think that's a very big deal. Like, I actually have a book on my pile that ends as well. And I was expecting this to just go on forever. It got so bad, I was going to dump it off my pile because I'm like, I can't keep reading this story. It's not very interesting. And then you read the last page and it says end, and you're like, oh, hell. I didn't realize it. And you feel like you kind of misjudged it, right?
Yeah. I mean... But either way, okay, so about this issue.
Yes.
One thing I didn't like is that Jason was a complete dick to Leslie.
Jason is a dick.
I understand. He's a dick now. You know, he's lost.
There's a reason why fans voted for him to die.
Yeah. I don't like him.
All right, that's fine.
Don't
pick
on Leslie. That's so rude.
Leslie's a nice person.
Yeah. But I feel like there was also one point where you were kind of taken away from being in that early 90s childhood feel,
yeah.
you know, reading this.
Yeah.
When Joker makes a wisecrack about the chicken fight in Family Guy, I'm like...
Well, I mean, it is the story continuing.
I just felt like it was out of place. It was...
It's like an anachronism.
I mean, it
shouldn't have happened in this timeline.
It was funny because, you know, Joker's there with Penguin and Penguin's like, look, I got this giant chicken and his name is Mr. Wing. And he starts beating up on Joker's like main guy or whatever. And he cracks that joke. So you're like... I don't know. It didn't feel like it was part of that universe.
Okay.
I didn't like that.
You don't like the idea.
Another cartoon.
Yeah. You don't like the idea that people in Gotham sit at home on Sunday and watch the Fox Sunday Night like domination.
I feel like the Family Guy doesn't exist in this world. I don't know.
I can understand the two. Yeah, no, I understand that. It's hard to think because like in that reality that Family Guy exists in Batman the Animated Series canon, right?
Yeah.
That means that Seth MacFarlane is a real person who voices a character, right? And also, it means that if Mark Hamill was ever in an episode of Family Guy, which I believe he was. Yeah, he was in an early episode.
Yeah.
That means Mark Hamill, who is the Joker. It's a lot.
It's just a complete mindfuck.
Yeah.
When you really start picking it apart. But, you know, this issue overall, you know, I pick on little things, you know, but overall it was a good issue.
Okay.
You know, Jason, you know, he decides to, he's got Tim, he's got the Joker now, and he even gathers up Batman. And you know, just how the whole thing kind of turns out with all of them there is... It's just crazy. It's a crazy little story to read. Of course, once again, nitpick, and I'm like, if there's like three against one, why did it take so long for this to go through? You know, because I mean, during the battle, it's like Joker's ready to like side with Batman to be against, you know, Jason. So I don't know, you know, but even during the huge battle, Batman proves once again to Jason that he doesn't want to give up on him.
Yeah. I mean, once you sign over those documents, you know, that's your responsibility.
Yeah.
Wards are not to be taken lightly.
But it actually turns out that Jason has a new family. So I'm assuming this is what we're kind of going to get into I think it's the last issue, right?
Right.
Number 8?
Yeah. Supposed to be. I mean, it says the end at the end of this issue, so...
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
No.
So maybe there'll be another volume or something?
Oh, no, it does say end. Maybe it's just... I'm okay with the ending here, too, though.
Yeah.
I mean...
There could be an epilogue issue.
The next issue would pretty much be about him...
And his
finding
new family.
His new place in this family, and, you know... Are they going to start a whole new storyline? I mean, I just don't feel like they could open that and just do it all in one issue and then be done then.
Right.
I feel like either it's going to go for a few more issues or just end it now.
You don't know. It could be an epilogue, one of those like big epilogue issues that are like 60 pages and it ties everything up. And maybe that was a misprint on the receipt and issue 7 is just where it ends. It could be that they stopped at issue 7. I don't know why you would cut issue 7 if there's going to be 8, but... Who's to say?
Yeah.
Well, what else you got?
So up next is
Inkblot. I had an Inkblot over here. Oh, he's in here. He's actually in here.
He's somewhere.
No, he's literally in here. Look.
Oh. Oh my god. Oh my god. There's a cat and a hello. I don't think they can see.
Come here.
He's in a box.
He's in a box. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, he needs the pillow on top of the box.
That's how he knows he's safe. All right.
So, it was very boring, this issue.
Oh, no.
The cat does nothing but randomly go meow. And usually it's really cute when he does that.
Yeah.
Or she, I don't know.
It's hard to tell what the gender of a cat is to begin with.
Same as Inkblot. It's not really girly or manly. Yeah. It's just cute. But... You know, the story, of course, you know, involves, like, another sorcerer or something, which is the father of, apparently, like, 10 children. They're all traveling through the desert together. He just kind of reminded me of like Moses. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say it sounds
walking
very
in the desert.
Sounds
but,
very Moses.
But he's like, I created all these kids. You know, there's no wife in sight, but he's got all the fucking kids. He lost the battle in court, yeah, and had to take all these children.
Maybe he won. Maybe he won. You know, fathers are important.
He didn't seem like he felt like he won. He seemed a little annoyed with these kids.
I just had this amazing idea. I had this incredible idea. What if, instead of doing this, like, continuous storyline, which doesn't, I know it hasn't really, like, picked up speed, right? Like, we don't really know where things are going. What if it's just Inkblot was, like, this creature who just sort of zipped in and out of major historical events? Like, Moses doesn't part the sea. It's just that Inkblot sits on his shoulder, and when he tries to part the sea, Inkblot, like, puts his foot down in the water. He doesn't like it, but he's magical, so the water just splits because he doesn't want to walk in the water. And then you could be like, Inkblot was there at every major political moment. Like, Inkblot was there to, like, push the lever that drops the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Holy shit. I can get behind that. I feel like that's amazing.
Emma Kubert, you're welcome.
At the same time, I feel like maybe that is what they're doing. But this is a different reality, so it's not going to be,
because that does seem very Moses-y.
Yeah, you know? Like, this guy, like, walking through. But basically, he's looking for this spirit of some sort or whatever. Okay. And it rises out of the sand. And
like a burning bush?
For some reason, this guy is like, look, I want to ask you something. You know, I need you to give me something. And then the spirit's like, why would I do that? You, like, killed all my friends. And then he pulls out the cat and he's like, this is my offering!
Oh!
You know, and that's how the cat gets involved. But that's about it. I mean, every once in a while, he's like, meow, 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 meow. But pretty much after the whole thing plays out, the whole story in the desert, at the end, the cat has just simply disappeared. Like, he just...
He blipped out of time.
He was gone. Yeah. You know, they looked around. The cat was gone. And you actually find out that the cat can travel through time. So that,
you see how I gleaned all this just by looking at the pharaohs, you know, the Egyptian landscape back here, and how the previous issues he keeps jumping around in time. You see how I put that together? I've read too many damn comics. So did you like this issue?
It was all right, and the idea that you just put in my head about all these
major
historical events. Now I can see it from another view. Like, I don't know if...
Maybe that's what she's going for here, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm not giving up on it, though.
Well, it's a fun book. It's $3.99, and it's about a cat that, you know, is magical. Why would you not just buy every issue? Speaking of.
There he is. All right.
Way to make your cue, buddy.
All right.
All right. Speaking of black things, there's Black Widow. I know. It's a black cat, and now it's a black spider.
So, in the last issue...
It's going to be so hard to listen to this review, because you told me what happened. Go ahead, tell the audience, because holy shit.
So, when the Legion of Doom, that's what I'm calling them.
Yeah.
this group of villains of Black Widow that just... They're so terrible. I don't think they're good at what they do.
Okay.
But anyway, they try to fry the implant in her brain.
Right.
In the last issue.
Right.
She goes unconscious. Well, she wakes up at the beginning of this issue.
Yes.
And it didn't kill her, but it woke her up.
Right.
And now all the bad guys are like, oh my God, we got to go now. We got to disappear. She is going to figure this shit out.
And Natasha's awake!
Yeah, like, they're freaking out. But you can actually see, it shows panels of her face as she wakes up, and then she starts to tear up because she's realizing who she is at the same time while she's looking at her husband and her child.
Her child that she's not supposed to be able to have.
And she knows that they're real.
Yeah.
But now she knows who she is, and she's remembering everything that happened to her.
Right.
To get to this point. And it completely just overwhelms her, and then you just see her tear up. But of course, because she's such a strong woman, and she knows that they're in the middle of all these like assassins in the house, and that she's got to get her family out of here. They're still her family. You know, she just sucks it up, and she like.
Do you love Black Widow, especially the way this is written? Because much like yourself, she just shoves all of her emotions down into a pit into her stomach and never really focuses on them.
It's true. I can relate to her. I've been through some shit, yeah. But I just let it roll off. But anyway, so I don't know how to say this girl's name, and I don't understand the absolute importance of her because I don't read Marvel, period.
Do you want to show me? I can try.
Yelena.
Yelena's the original. Yelena. She's the original Black Widow.
Ah, okay. So she shows up.
Yelena Nevakova?
Yeah, that sounds right. I remember them saying the last name. But, you know,
she's blonde, right?
Yeah.
I don't even read that many Marvel comics. God, my life is such misery.
So
why have I attained all this knowledge for no reason?
Shows up.
Sorry.
To help.
Existential crisis happened.
And you know they're able to get away and all, but there's this part where she's talking to her husband.
Yeah.
And
she's Yelena is talking to her husband, or
Natasha. Natasha's talking to her husband, and she's telling him how, you know, look, we can't be together anymore. They will come and get you guys because I love you. You know, and he can't handle it. You know, he learns the whole truth about, you know, how they came to be and everything. But he still, he just can't see himself without her.
Right.
But they have this, like, really touching scene where, you know, the kid's sleeping. And then he's like, yeah, I'm pretty suckered out, too. I'm going to lay down with the kid for a little bit, and as she's walking away, just like missile or whatever comes out of nowhere, and just like there's a huge explosion, and then you just see her face just like so it's like,
now remember, as with TV shows, until you see the bodies they may not be dead.
True, but I mean it kind of solves a problem for the writer. They don't have to like figure out like how to
get
these two out of here and have them disappear.
So you loved a comic called Lady Killer, which seems very similar to this.
Yeah.
You're reading a comic called Bad Mother, which you love, which seems similar to this.
Yes.
And you're also reading, of course, Black Widow. And you are so into Black Widow that you almost bought a Black Widow reusable bag from Publix that has nothing to do with this comic.
Oh, that's true.
Like, are you sort of like evolving into a giant Black Widow nerd now?
I don't know. Maybe.
Not your pick of the week.
No.
Lots of other books on your stack?
I got two more.
Yeah, two more.
I got two more.
Would this have been your pick of the week if these other two books didn't exist?
I think so.
Okay. Because I knew you were really looking forward to at least one of these two, and then one you were totally shocked by. We got Batman, Catwoman, Bat-Cat, issue one. I made sure to get the special edition cover with the second cover. I love this image. That's a really good image there. But, you know, we could turn this over to some of our artist friends. Travis, we could give it to Travis, and he'll eventually put a cover on it after about 6 years, and then he'll give it back to us, and it'll look really great. But yeah, I love the idea of having blank covers whenever possible, because there's lots of people in the world, not just big-name artists, but your friends, people who you know who could do really good art. I would love to see one of our friends do some sort of scribbles on that. Now, that is a Black Label book. It is issue 1 of 12. I believe it even says so. It's Tom King.
So.
Is there banging?
There was. So. You get to learn a lot.
Yes.
In this issue.
I've read it as well.
I will say I could see this getting wrapped up.
Pretty quickly.
Much quicker than 12 issues.
Right.
I hope we come to a point where there's like more questions like quickly, so there's more story to learn about.
I mean, Tom King throws a lot at you in that one issue.
Yeah, and because of that, I have a little bit of a fear that, you know, things will move along quickly too, yeah. and then maybe kind of drag out a little bit. But either way, in this issue, you have basically two storylines going on. You have one where Selena is...
There's like four.
Like two main.
Okay, fine. Your review. Go for it.
Yeah. So one where Selena is an older lady visiting somebody. And another one where it's Bruce and Selena kind of through their relationship, pretty much. And during that storyline, they're pretty much trying to find this 14-year-old kid that's lost.
May or may not be Bruce's son.
True. I mean, why does he seem so concerned about
that? There is a lot going on in this issue.
Yeah, and I like, it kind of made you feel like that too, and I kind of got that feeling.
Yeah, you're like
when Bruce goes to the mother and like who's his father,
and
she's like,
he's dead. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it.
They don't want to talk about it. He's dead. He's dead to us. but. You know, you get to see the relationship between Bruce and Selena, and, you know, I really like that, because I like their relationship. Yeah. I've always liked them having a relationship. Of course, there comes to some jokes where she's with the Joker, and the Joker is like, you know, I mean, how can you be the same person when you... fucking the Batman.
And he uses the word stooping, by the way, which is a good Yiddish word. I love how much Mark Hamill's Joker from Batman the Animated Series they infused into that character. By simply using the word stooping, I instantly heard Mark Hamill's voice. And I love the character design of the Joker for this volume. He's very much the mobster Joker, which is my favorite version of the Joker. He's got the cool fedora, but it all, you know, like his whole drip is like the bright pinks and the greens, and he just basically looks like if the Miami Heat was a supervillain team, he would be the starting center for those supervillain Miami Heat. He looks so good in this issue, and it's nice to have a comic book Joker look very, like, I hadn't seen a good-looking Joker in a long time, because I'm used to him being all decrepit and creepy. They didn't even use the Joker font. Did you notice that? They used a different font for his speech. No. And DC has a font that's called the Joker font. If you ever read any of his books, often he's using Joker font to talk. So, I really love the way that whole image with him with the Tommy gun. I'm also watching Hunter x Hunter right now, and if you're a big anime nerd like I'm becoming, there's a lot of similarities between him and one of the main characters who also is a magician, but he basically is the Joker, so I just love the way he looked. I wanted to add that to you. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw a monkey wrench in on your review there.
Yeah, so anyway, we actually kind of get an idea of who the old man is.
Yes, we do.
Visits. And that's a spoiler. I think, that's pretty cool.
Now, that's not your pick of the week, though.
Nope.
Why is that not your pick of the week?
Because this is...
Oh, it's Tales from the Dark Universe, Wonder Woman, War of the Gods. A book that was simply added because I am reading every stinking Dark Knight death metal book that there is, and it's driving me insane.
And I'm not reading any of
it. Not one of them.
Not one of them. But I read this one, and I liked it.
It's your pick of the week.
Yeah, it's my pick of the week.
It's interesting, because does it have anything to do with any of the books you're reading?
No.
It's a one-shot. Are there going to be more?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. I don't know. It's supposed to be a one-shot.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
it's an Elseworlds story.
It leads you to be able to continue that story.
Right.
Definitely. There's more story to tell. But... It tells you that it's going to continue in Infinite Crisis.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to read that. Unless you tell me that it is just going to be based on, you know, what
I've already read
for Wonder Woman, then sure.
I
don't want to read the rest of what's going on. I haven't been reading it. I'm just don't feel like getting more loss.
Well, that's fine, but I don't think we've ever read anything by Vita Ayala. Vita Ayala. Gee, easy for me to say. Uh-huh. I read half of it before you needed it back to write your review, and I thought they were doing a great job with writing Wonder Woman. Like, it sounded like Wonder Woman to me. But have you ever read anything of theirs before? Vita's?
No.
Nothing you can think of off the top of your head?
No.
Interesting. All right, go ahead.
So, basically there's this evil witch god by the name of...
Hecate? Yeah, Hecate.
And she has actually entered Wonder Woman's mind.
Right.
And, you know, as they are instantly into this mind, this world within Wonder Woman, which is essentially her mm-hmm. as a person. And this witch is like, look, I'm going to take you over. I'm going to take you over and I'm going to use you to do bad. But Wonder Woman, as strong as she is, she just shoves her down and into like a crevice mm-hmm. in her mind. And she's like, I'm going to keep you here until I can figure out how to exercise you. And you know, she goes about her business and then horrific things happen. You know, the mascara is attacked. Her mother is killed. They actually kill Etta and Steve. And
Steve Trevor.
Well, yeah. I mean, so she just, all of this, the witch feeds from.
Right.
And Wonder Woman just is finally to that breaking point. And you can just, the artwork
yeah.
that shows this you can transformation see her skin. Yeah, her skin's of her fighting.
Yeah.
To the last bit, like you can just see her fingertips like just slip away.
Right.
And she just, the witch takes her over and just horrific thing, like just basically takes over Olympus, takes over the White House. And then you're quickly moved into, you know, the Supes finally show up and they're like, we gotta, you know, help her. But what happens next is just, it's horrific. And, you know, and you can definitely, like I said, continue this story,
mm-hmm.
but I would be okay stopping here. You know, like you said, this is, you know,
it's an Elseworld,
you know?
Story, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I feel like I would want more of an ending for this story. I want to see Wonder Woman get out of this situation.
Or maybe the ending is she never does.
Yeah. Like, is this really what it takes to
defeat Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So, and it's important to remember that these are tales from the dark multiverse.
Yeah.
Which means that they're, you know, intended to be just sort of one-off stories that don't have any bearing in reality. But we were talking about this. These kind of books and the one-shots and the Black Label, we are so in love with these books right now because we've read, I mean, you've practically read almost all 700 issues of Wonder Woman, right?
I love it.
Huh?
I can't not read it.
Right. But for you to find a book about Wonder Woman that has new and interesting ideas in it,
mm-hmm.
that had to be kind of amazing for you. Like, you were enthralled by this. I've never seen you, like, take a book that you knew nothing about, open it up, and just sit there and just page after page after page. You didn't say anything. You didn't giggle at anything. You just sat there and read it.
And that's a really good point because I have read these one-off stories of Wonder Woman,
yeah.
you know, and from other writers, and has just been highly disappointed. Like, it's
nice.
Either it's just not a good storyline, or it's the way they portray
right.
Wonder Woman. Like,
right.
they just don't understand her, you know, her character. But this was Wonder Woman. This was, you know, all the fight that Wonder Woman could give, she gave. And, you know, the Supes even mention about, you know, they're talking about Wonder Woman and they're like, she can win, she can do it, you know. And they talk about how she, you know, she uses love and peace and kindness and that always overwhelms. And so in this story, it looks like it doesn't.
Right.
You know, it, like, this is to take her down. I, you know, being a Wonder Woman fan, you would think, you know, you don't want to see her lose, you know? But
sometimes those are the best stories. Like, it's nice to pick up a book that has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And read a story you've never read before. You know, there's this running gag in my comic shop that I go to all the time. If you just tell good stories, people will read the books.
Well, they even mentioned, you know, I think it was part where the witch was talking to her, to Wonder Woman, and was, you know, saying these things, all these different things that, like, weakened her, and, you know, she's, it's very human.
Yes, how very human of her. Yeah.
And Wonder Woman's like, look, I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
I'm proud. Thank you. This is what I've been trying to accomplish. I just want to be able to be part of man's world and help them and be there for them. And
it's a tough book.
It really was.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your tremendous The Read Pile this week, Elle.
There's a cat fight.
I see the kittens are brawling right now, yes. I have a tremendous stack as well. So let's get to it. First, a book that I had thought was going to exit my The Read Pile, but I don't have to worry about it anymore. This is The Boys, Dear Becky, issue 7 of 7. I didn't know it was of 7. I was unaware it was on 7.
Are you much happier about this issue?
Well, here's the thing. It says collects issues 1 through 8. So I don't know. I have no idea, but there's a very definitive ending. It literally says the end. So I don't know what this is, but I will say this. Much like in your situation, after I'm going through this book and I'm just sitting there on the couch reading this, I'm just like, more of this. Oh, there's so much talking, and, you know, and then I get to the last page, I'm like, oh, that's kind of nutty. And then it says the end, and I went, oh damn. And then I had to go back and immediately reread the book because I didn't realize this was it.
Yeah.
That's very frustrating. And I'm glad that you started your pile in the same situation. Because if you look at the start of the book, you've got everyone, you know, here's all the good stuff. Here, Derek did the cover, you know, all the illustrations, and da da da. It doesn't say anything about this being 7 of 8 or 7 of 7, right?
Right.
So, what are we doing? Is this the final issue? Is it not? Is there going to be one more issue? It says it collects issues 1 through 7 or 1 through 8 as the trade. Is issue 8 just a 0 issue? It's also a prequel to The Boys and a continuation of the story, and the story doesn't really end because you've got one story that does end, which is the story of Butcher and how he, you know, basically accidentally or deliberately created the 7 so that he could go after the Supes. And then you've got Wee Huey and Annie living their life in 2020. I don't know what to do now. I do feel very disappointed in myself that I didn't give the first 6 issues quite the amount of love that I would have wanted to. Because I wasn't aware that this was a short story. I thought this was just going to be an ongoing ad infinitum. It's frustrating. Disappointing. Good issue. Better now that I know the damn story's over. Now I got to go back and reread the whole volume, which is frustrating. Because again, same situation with Batman the Animated Series. You just sort of took it as like, all right, well, I'll get another issue of this. I don't. And then it's over. You're like, oh, crap. You didn't realize it. Speaking of what will never end, but is starting to get really good, Batman issue 104. This, of course, by the same creative team that's been on it, James Tynion IV, and hang on, let me get his name right. Gullen Marsh, Danny Mikey. So the story of Ghostmaker is actually becoming quite enthralling. And we're learning more and more and more about who Ghostmaker is and was and what's his relationship to Bruce. And there's a lot of information that's spent in the history of Ghostmaker versus Batman. And suddenly I care about this character. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I thought that was his late detachment.
No, it's just a hyper-stylized kind of kick thing.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. But, like, you get to see very young Dick Grayson, and he's wearing his Batman 66 outfit, which I thought was a very nice, like, homage to that early year of Batman. So, like, you can see there's a shot of Batman and Robin in the Batmobile, and Batman's wearing his very early design of his costume. This is actually becoming quite an interesting issue. And then you're starting to see, like, you should appreciate this. So, Spoiler and Cassandra Cain are starting to refer to themselves as the Batgirls, and they refer to Barbara Gordon as Batgirl Prime now. which I thought was hilarious. And their reasoning for that was, well, if Batman can have, like, a million Robins, why can't there be multiple Batgirls? And Barbara's response was, I appreciate what you guys are doing, but now is not the time for this. We have to find Batman, he's missing. But I love that.
There are multiple Batgirls.
Well, there have been, but they don't refer to themselves as Batgirl. When they move on from that visage, you don't ever reference them. We know that Spoiler was a Batgirl. Actually, I think Spoiler was a Robin, wasn't she? I can't remember now. Maybe it was Batgirl. But we know that Cassandra Cain was absolutely a Batgirl. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Barbara Gordon.
I have all the traits.
Yes, and they're very good. Kicking Bat is probably my favorite one. But we know that, you know, Barbara Gordon was a Batgirl. There's been lots of Batgirls to wear the Batgirl persona.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they refer to themselves as Batgirls? All the Robins make fun of themselves for being Robins. Nobody calls Dick Grayson or Nightwing. They just call him Robin. No matter what happens, he's always poor Robin. Even Tim Drake couldn't even get rid of the damn name. Now he's Red Robin. Oh, give me a hamburger, Red Robin. You got a buffet? You got your big salad buffet, Red Robin? Anyway, I'm getting off topic. Batman 104 is actually very good. I would still much prefer this been issue 4 of a new volume, very honestly. Seeing that 104 in the corner, it is very daunting. I don't dig it. I thought I'd never get to the point in my life where I would much prefer to just see volumized series, but I would much rather have that. I don't want to have... If your story ends, so like Tom King did Batman issues basically 1 through 85, that should have been a volume in and of itself. The Joker War should have been a volume in and of itself. If the Joker War continues here, which we're seeing Clown Killer and Harley, and it is picking up where those leave off with Ghostmaker, then that should be its own. Like, do you see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like it, but it is difficult to look at that 104 and then really like hunker down and be like, all right, here we go. Maybe that's just a sign of the times. Maybe that's just a sign of who we are. Let's move on. Good issue. Interesting stuff. We got Heavy. Issue 3 of Heavy. And it's funny that the book is called Heavy and it's all about these heaven-style Punisher figures who show up and try and correct the timelines and the multiverse. And that's why they're called Heavies, because they're heavy hitters. They're the big boys. But the book actually changes its own name in this issue. It's not just Heavy because they're the Heavies. It's a pretty heavy issue. Like, there's a lot of discussion that happens here between Slim, who is the guy who actually killed Bill, who he and Slim are becoming friends more and more, and there's this discussion about whether or not the Big Weight, which is the world that exists between heaven and earth, basically purgatory, literally purgatory, why does the Big Weight even need to exist? If there is a heaven and everyone is redeemable, Why would a world that has a heaven, why would a universe that has a heaven, why would a God that created heaven and earth and hell and all this other stuff, why would the Big Weight need to exist? Why would there need to be stories about guys like Bill whose wives get killed in front of them and they become avenging angels? Doesn't that seem very counterintuitive to a universe that's trying to create positivity and good you know, feeling?
Yeah.
So the book starts really changing itself and really getting into like the mythos of its own story. And we're getting further and further into it. Now, I love the arc by Eric, of course, Eric Donovan, but the story by Max Bemis is really starting to get very, well, for lack of a better term, heavy. This entire issue, Slim has to go through all of these different timelines. Slim is a bad guy. He is not a good person, but he's also he's like the Joker. He's so bad that you just end up loving him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's going throughout all of these different historical moments where he, Slim, has killed and maimed and raped. They even get to a point where they're correcting timelines where Slim kills, what is her name? It's Bill's wife. I think it's Shannon, I want to say. I screwed that up. It doesn't matter. So they're going back in time and Slim is literally killing alternate versions of himself. And he's doing it with like gusto and glee. And Bill's like, this can't be good for your psyche. Like, you can't go into other realms, kill yourself. And Slim's like, I'm actually enjoying this quite a bit. There's nothing better than killing myself. I think myself is a piece of shit, and I want to eliminate myself from all timelines. I think it's worth my time. I think this is a good idea. And you're just hearing that. You're like, dude. And you can sort of see how Slim is, like, becoming less and less of this evildoer and more of, like, this redemption story. And maybe the story has never been about Bill. Maybe it's always going to be about Slim. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot going on. And it is a very heavy issue. If you're not reading Heavy, it's only issue 3. It's from Vault Comics. It's really cool. It's definitely a different take on the whole Punisher, Avenging Angel kind of storyline. I would definitely recommend checking it out. This is a book that was given to me by my store to review. It was added to my pile as sort of a thing that they're like, we've heard a lot of people talking about this. We think you should check it out. And it is Anathem Dead, issue 1 from Aftershock Comics. This is very, like, so Aftershock, Vault, a lot of these books that we're getting into have, like, these really quiet first issues, right? Where nothing really exciting happens. And all we're sort of watching is this guy try his hand at being a stand-up comedian. And he's writing out jokes. And I believe Elliot Rahal, whose last name I'm pretty sure I just butchered, and I'm sorry. He actually wrote wrote part of the Paybacks, or was part of the Paybacks, which is one of my favorite series of all times, which is by Donny Cates. And he'll never go back to it. It's in my stack over there. So I was already into it. And what we're seeing from this book is there's just not a whole lot going on. There's a lot of attempts at humor and a lot of failed attempts at humor. And this guy is just dying on stage and he's never really getting anywhere. He's just constantly dying and dying and dying on stage until he meets this guy who tells him, hey, if you want to make it in this world, kid, you got to give up, you know, you got to give up your life. You got to give blood to it. And he gets into a car accident with this guy and he flatlines. He's dead, but he's also not dead. Because they're like, oh, we were able to revive him. What do you mean he doesn't have a heartbeat? And the guy's like, what's going on? Where am I? So the story goes from being this, like, really interesting tale of, is this guy, like, just trying to be a stand-up comedian? Is this sort of like a Joker story? Who's to say? To know, he died. He died in the car accident. But he's also not dead. So now I don't know what the story is.
He's like the undead?
He's like the unliving, which will breed very, you know, very well into my pick of the week. Spoiler. But I don't know what to make of this book yet. I don't hate it. I like it. I think it's very well drawn and very interesting. And it's another one of these things where it's an Aftershock book. It's a small print run. I'm very excited to read it. I don't know what else to say about it, though, because it was a very quiet issue. Mm. Now on to my would-be picks of the week. Both are pretty goddamn obvious, if I'm honest. First, we have Strange Adventures. This is issue 7 of 12. See, it says it right there. See, 7 of 12. Look how easy that is. I know that this is going to be 12 issues long. I don't know how many more of these issues I can read, though. Because this shit is brutal. Adam Strange is, for the most of the issue, being held captive by a guy who appears to be similar to, like, the Doctor from a lot of different versions of DC continuity. He's just sort of screwing with this guy mentally, or Adam Strange is being screwed by this guy who is basically just dropping him into alternate realities, and Adam Strange has to live through these realities, and we find out he's been missing for months and months and months. So basically, the whole concept of issue 7 is, what if someone took you out of your reality and started, like, basically pulling apart your brain and forcing you to live in what you think is actual reality, but at the very last second, no, it was all a dream. No matter what you do, no, it was all a dream. No matter what happens to you, you see your daughter die, you kill Batman, you help Batman kill an assassin, you do all kinds of crazy stuff, you save the day, you lose the day, you win, you lose, you get really, really, really far, and then no, it was just a dream. What happens to Adam Strange? Like, the character, what happens to this guy when he spent literally months being pulled in every which way and direction? It's such a psychological beat-em-up. It's so brutal. And it's done in a way that makes you very angry, because the doctor is just talking to him. Like, this is how the doctor talks. Dude, I asked the same thing when the Pikes came to my planet, Anathorin, we were at where we're at now. After we pleaded for Rand to help, you know, and Rand did nothing, and the Pikes killed just about everybody. Well, and I was like, why us? Why did they capture me? And then I was all like, why me? And that's how this guy talks. He's looking at Adam Strange. He's basically like, look, dude, it's shit, right? It's terrible. You should just give up. I gave up, and look how happy I am. You should give up too. Anyway, we're going to drop you back into a different reality. See you later.
Jeez.
It's so brutal. It's just, oh my God. the reason why it's not my pick of the week is because there is no hope. And hope can be a hell of a drug. This is stark reality. In every five pages, it's just a gut punch. Just, every five pages, you're like, is he finally out of it? So you as the reader are experiencing the exact same shit that Adam Strange is going through. And you don't want to find out that this, like, there's one where his daughter's there and he's like, oh my God, it's been months. And she's like, yeah, you've been gone for like 3 months, but you're back now and it's okay. He's like, you have no idea how difficult it was. And then he just explodes. Like, his body parts, all of his, like, it's a really screwed up panel.
Does he know?
Yeah.
That every time he enters the new reality that this might not be true?
No, because every reality
that... He restarts.
Yeah, he restarts too. And what it is more than anything is it's all in his head. So he doesn't know when it begins and ends because it feels real to him. It's so messed up.
Wow.
It's brutal. Strange Adventures has been unquestionably the biggest pickup of the year for me. I know it's not my pick of the week this week because, well, the next one is. But if there was one book that I could go back and read, if I could jump ahead to the end of the story and say, look, you're going to want every issue in this and you're going to reread it again, I guarantee you it's going to be Strange Adventures. We're only on issue 7 of 12, and it's already probably the best book of the year. We've got a couple more weeks left in the year, and I can all but tell you just right now before we even get to the end of the year picks, Strange Adventures is going to be my pick of the year. I guarantee it. There's just no way I can get around it. It's gorgeous, it's well-written, and it's brutal, 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 brutal.
So I gotta come up with pick of the year?
Yeah. You got a couple weeks. First, though, it's time to get to my pick of the week. And what would have also been my pick of the year, if it wasn't 12 issues, it's only 7 issues. But it's actually only 6 issues, and it's Deceased, Dead Planet, and oh my God! Tom Taylor has a great method about him. He likes to dangle hope in front of you as the reader. You are reading the story. It's like you're watching your favorite, you know, stories. You're watching your favorite movie. And Dead Planet, specifically John Kent, who is Clark's son, you know, the symbol of hope. It doesn't mean an S. It's actually a symbol of hope. All that. You are given so much hope. You're given so much hopium. You're giving so much hopium. And you're reading along this book, and you're like, man, this is so great. Oh my God, they actually got a cure. The cure is real. They actually saved somebody. They brought them back from the anti-life equation. They were not dead, you find out. No one's really dead when they have the anti-life equation. They're just sort of stuck in this weird, like, paradoxical time frame where they are neither dead nor alive. So they are...
There's a cat.
Yes. She's ruining the comics. Get them off the... Go. So they're neither alive nor are they dead. They're neither good. They're neither evil. They're stuck in basically a suspended animation. And they've... You want to do something about this?
She just wants to play.
Don't let her hurt the comics. That's all I ask. I have one issue. So they're neither dead nor are they alive. They're neither good, neither bad. And they've discovered a way to save them. So there's your big hopium. They're going to win the day. Dead Planet doesn't mean what it means. They're going to save the universe. Everything's... They're going to do it. And then while that's happening, there is all the people in Australia, led by the Penguin and T.O. Morrow and all these other guys who are creating all these Amazo robots that are going to wipe the planet clean of all the dead. Because... The Australian faction doesn't know that these heroes and people who are anti-life are not actually dead. They're just human. So they need to save them. And they find out, well, they've already, like, wiped out Australia. So of the 3 billion people left on Earth, roughly, like, half that is already gone. Because the Amazos are just traveling the world, killing everything.
Wow.
Meanwhile, in Paris, Trigon, who is very tired of nobody coming to hell anymore, because, again, the souls are trapped in the anti-life equation...
Mm.
Decides to rise up out of the catacombs of Paris, which is a great reference to As Above, So Below, which we just watched a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. And he starts leveling cities, because Trigon will do such things. So you've got Trigon in Europe, you've got the Amazos traveling from Australia, and in the meantime, the heroes are trying to save the world. And you've got all of this hope and all of this belief and positive things are going to happen, and then in the end... You see that this is how it will all end. And There is a really awesome scene here at the end. I'm just going to show you. I like doing this. I like getting your reactions to things. Here you go. By the way, Zatanna was in a lot of our issues this week, sort of randomly. I just sort of noticed that. You see all the different weapons he has?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you've got all of this great hope and all of this great, like, positive energy happening, and then the last two pages happen, and you're like, right, there's no hope. Because Trigon is leveling the planet, the Amazo army is leveling the other side of the planet, and all the heroes want to do is save the world, and there's just nothing left. And hope is a hell of a drug. It is a hell of a drug. So DC's Dead Planet has one more issue left. It was supposed to be a 6th issue, now it's going to be a 7th. I'm interested to see what that 7th issue is going to be. Big shout out to our friend David Finch for doing the incredible artwork for this book as well. We know the Finches. And we're big fans of theirs. So just wanted to mention that. So my pick of the week is Deceased Dead Planet issue 6. And Elle's pick of the week is Tales from the Dark Multiverse Wonder Woman War of the Gods number 1. Both DC comics, both worth checking out. I would definitely recommend War of the Gods if you're just looking for a one-off, because it is, simply put, it is a one-shot. And it was a very interesting read. Like I said, I got through half of it. I'll read the other half after we're done. So that is everything we have for the read pile this week. It was a long one, but we had 11 books to review, so thank you for bearing with us. Make sure you check out our friends at the Wrestling Nerd Radio Network. Make sure you check in on Chad and Zach and all of our buddies. We actually added Aaron Nova, Captain Nova. He's a pro wrestler. He's awesome. I never told you about it, but he has a time box with him whenever he goes, and he can stop time halfway through a wrestling match. And, you know, it's actually hilarious as hell. And he joined the Wrestling Nerd Radio Network recently, too, with his first show. It was hilarious.
I can respect that.
Yeah, it's a time cube. The reason why we do the show, though, is actually a little bit different. If you've never joined us before, Elle here, we used to do the show for a long time. Elle got a pretty nasty diagnosis, and we had to stop doing the show until very recently. But Elle, would you like to tell everyone at home what it is that you do the show for?
I have a support blog on Instagram. It's called So You Have a Chronic Illness in between each word.
So underscore you underscore.
We have 1,060.
I saw 1,050 recently, so I imagine it's still growing. But yeah, you've gained 1,000 followers in like 4 months. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So basically, I am connecting with other people that have chronic illnesses. I have MS, and I'm finding others with MS, RA, Crohn's, POTS, just any chronic illness. You know, we've built this little support group, pretty much. And through Instagram, we share memes, pictures of our daily struggles, and use a lot of dark humor to kind of just relate to each other, because it's hard to talk to even our loved ones about things, because we feel like we're a weight on them, or we feel like maybe they just, you know, you just don't want to put more on their plate, you know.
Sure.
You just need that moral support, and that's what I'm trying to provide. I've gotten support from others on this little blog of mine, and it's just a great feeling. I mean, honestly, to me, it's better than when I was going to therapy. My therapist knew nothing about MS. Every time I mentioned something, I had to spend half an hour explaining
why that mattered. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just was pointless. But here, I feel like I can actually, like, I can mention something, and then I have like 50 people who are like, I understand. I go through the same thing. And it's nice to get that support instead of just hearing things like, I'm sorry, or...
Yeah, it's not. There's not a lot of, I'm sorry you're going through this. It's a lot of, hey, I know what that's like.
Yeah, and they follow up with another dark meme, you know, and then you kind of laugh about it. So it's really laughter has gotten me through a lot of things, and just having other people with similar issues as support, it's meant a lot to me the last few months.
Yeah. So if you want to check out Elle's Instagram and be part of the chronic illness community, again, it is Instagram, so_you_have_a_chronic_illness, all underscored between both words. But you could just search for So You Have a Chronic Illness on Instagram and you'll find Elle's group. It is growing by leaps and bounds every day, so thank you so much for those of you who have joined from the show. We also talk a lot on the Instagram through the meme system, the meme network, I suppose, about not just being an MS warrior, not just dealing with COVID-19, but also with being very big advocates for medical marijuana. So if you're wondering about medical marijuana or you have friends who are looking into it now, definitely talk to Elle about that. She's come off of almost a dozen medications because of it. It's been really beneficial for her.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that you will continue to check things out with us. Now, coming up in the next couple of weeks, expect the read pile to be a bit staggered. It's the end of the year. We'll see how it goes. We're always going to be here every Sunday to at least review one book, hopefully, or some major news. We do have our picks of the year coming up. It's going to be a lot easier for me than her. Until then, we hope that you see us again. For the original nerd girl, Elle Lestrange, I am a very stuffy, sinus infectioned sus man, Rick Sussman. And we will see you guys next week. So until then, say goodbye, Elle.
Bye, Elle.
Oh, my back hurts. Oh, my back.